Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, Pastor Byron is sharing a message for the church. I trust the Lord uses it to encourage and build you up. And now, this week's message.
Welcome to the Gathering Place and another one of our podcasts while we're away from our church building. And we ask the Lord to just bless this message that you're going to hear. We just thank you for Todd last Sunday sharing from the Lord's Prayer. And hopefully this message also taken from the Sermon on the Mount will also bless all of you in Jesus' name. Well, you know what? We live in a world that is really changing. And people in the world, till this virus hit, we're all seeking maybe social status, financial security, the pleasures of the world, maybe, but not aware of a different way that of coming to know God Himself. You know, Jesus once says, "Where your treasures are, that's where your heart is also." And I hope this message will take you to that place where you'll open up your heart to His heart, that we will be a reflection of the Jesus that lives inside of us and the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. So we're looking at the Beatitudes this morning, and it starts out with poor in spirit, for that's the kingdom of heaven. And that's a starting place for anybody to come to recognize that they do not have everything in their life. They're poor, and that makes them ready to receive God's grace and mercy. It's a recognition that you might be called bankrupt in your life, and all your searching and all your striving has led to an emptiness and a void in your life. Well, the Beatitudes go on to say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted." And you know what? It's that mourning place, that place of kind of figuring out in your life that you are empty, that you just don't know where to turn to. And God is encouraging you, and the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to come to realize that we have a need. And it's out of mourning or feeling sorry and feeling guilty about our life that we can open our life to Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's at that place that we can come to receive Him or resist Him. And then the Beatitudes go on to say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What's that place of meekness? Meekness is a very strong word, and it's like, I'm going to submit to someone else, and the someone else is Jesus, and come to that place where I say, I give up. I give up my striving. I give up what I'm doing, and I say, Lord, I'm in need. I realize that I'm bankrupt, and I want to submit to you. It's a place of turning away from your own method and your own way of life and turning to Jesus. Jesus said, yes, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. It's going through life and not realizing this need for Jesus Christ and coming to that place and saying, yes, I will humble myself. And I will humble myself to give my life to Jesus Christ. But then it goes on in a process, you might say, from poor in spirit to being sorry about where I'm at to actually humbling yourself and receiving Jesus Christ, that life begins after receiving Him into our lives. Well, then the Beatitudes go on to say, hunger and thirst after righteousness, because that's where you'll be filled. take care of your spiritual poverty. Jesus gives an appetite for spiritual things. Set before his table. Eat daily at his table. The source of eternal food, the word, ministries, and fellowship with other believers. Then he goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, for they be shown mercy. It's this place of taking this new relationship and surrendering to Jesus Christ that we become ministers of mercy. I want you to forgive all those who have offended you. That's what Jesus calls us to do when we become believers. He wants us to remove all bitterness and hatred from our life. He wants us to seek forgiveness from those who have offended us. He wants us to remember that I was merciful to you. And when we come to me, when we come to me, you submit to me as Savior. Now I want you to submit to me as Lord. And I guess that's part of this Christian life of growing, that we are not easily offended. We're not easily become angry at people and disregard their lives. But we come to this place where we become God's merciful people, as God's people who have received mercy from him. You know, I thought about different things, contrasts about being merciful or not being merciful. It says to be merciful is forgive those who have offended you. And as a Christian, sometimes we can use scriptures to condemn one another. To compassion towards the lost, rather than being judgmental and full of condemnation of others. Healing wounds and hurts, rather than having a critical spirit. Comforting instead of being indifferent about people's needs. Being generous rather than being prejudiced. Being sympathetic, subject to the misinterpretation of God's word and using it in a wrong way. Being gracious and not becoming pure. Kindness and truth instead of having cruelty in our life. Loyal, it means to be a friend. It means to be a friend, not despising or despiteful. Forgiving spirit instead of alternative motives and showing kindness. You know, we can do that. We can have a wrong motive even for showing kindness. Discipline, just having an unforgiving spirit in our life. Praise to God, having this heart of praise instead of being a revengeful spirit, punishment out of anger, blame, scornful, and full of gossip. You know, it's a tall order, as God has forgiven us, to receive his forgiveness and be merciful to others. Then he goes on, Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount, say, be pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that place where God starts revealing in our inner being things that need to change. It's a beautiful thing to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit and have change going on in our life. You know, those secret sins to give you power to walk away. Evil imaginations. And I think a lot of times we can have imaginations about people that are not true, and God wants to deliver us from that and know the truth and know the truth about other people, that let them be free. Imperfections that hinder your testimony. God wants us to be lights to the world, salt to the earth. He wants us to be a city on a hill. He wants to make us lights to the world. He wants us to have fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness. No fellowship. And then he says, So what's the purpose? What is the purpose for purifying my life in your life? He wants us to become peacemakers, because the next thing is, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's just, we're to reflect Jesus. You know, and a full moon night is, we might be driving our cars or walking through a park. We might see the moon and say, wow, what a beautiful piece of creation that God made. But yet the light of the moon is only a reflection of the sun. And you and I as peacemakers in this world, with people looking at our lives, we need to be reflectors of Jesus Christ in our life. He wants us to resist. And if we resist purification, we shall be impure. And God wants to purify our lives. God's purpose for all Christians is to be peacemakers, soul winners, reflecting who He is. Now, it's very interesting as this moves on that, you know, we're looking at, you know, discovering who we are, poor in spirit. We're looking at seeing our condition and doing something about it as we mourn and sitting before His throne of grace and receiving Jesus, the meek, and hungering thirst after righteousness. Hungering, have a hunger for being with other believers, for listening to the Word, and even setting time to study the Word. And then also working out our salvation, we become pure at heart, because we want to see God working in our life, don't we? We want to see Him radically working in our lives. And that means just allowing His Holy Spirit to just work in the inner being, in the inner person that we are. And then we become, the natural thing is we become peacemakers. We become God's instrument, God's hands and feet, the hands and feet of Jesus, to reach out to the lost with a gospel that's full of power and full of grace. You know, things look like they're going pretty good at this point. You know, as we work through what Jesus was sharing with us about the Beatitudes, or blessed are those. But something occurs next that sometimes we're not prepared for. And in Peter, he says, don't be surprised when things don't go right. Because then Jesus said, blessed are those when they're persecuted. They have a great reward in heaven. I think a lot of us who walk with Jesus sometimes are not prepared for the persecution, because it will come in all different forms. You know, it can become from people with a critical spirit. That could come from people that you can't understand. Why don't they forgive me? What's wrong with them? And we can have all kinds of things to defend ourselves rather than submitting to Jesus Christ. It says, Christians want to do the next thing that Jesus has us to say. Because after persecution, when we respond correctly to those who persecute us, it's amazing the next step that Jesus gives us in the next step. It's maybe you can remember a time when you were persecuted or spoken badly about. The question is, did you try to defend yourself, or did you seek Jesus Christ and say, well, Lord, I can identify with that, because if you were persecuted, I would be persecuted. And taking the higher road rather than the lower road. Because the next step that he said, and really it's that way to respond correctly to persecution, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why rejoice? So that Jesus can build in us righteousness, mercy, purity and become a true peacemaker. You know, in Acts chapter 2, you can almost see the same process that we just talked about actually being displayed in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, 41, you can read it for yourself, it's submitting. They were accepting the message that they received and were baptized. In Acts chapter 2, 42, it says, they hungered and thirsted after righteousness and spiritual things. In that teaching, in that chapter, it says they opened to the teachings of the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it's the display of being merciful. They said they were generous and unselfishness. In Acts 2:47, you could say pure at heart, because they praising God, worshiping in singleness of purpose. In Acts 2:47, peacemakers. It says the Lord added to their number. Well, I one time years ago I saw a connection between the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer that Todd shared with last week. Let's go back over and look what it said in the Lord's Prayer and see the connection with the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, kingdom of heaven, our Father who art in heaven. It's coming to that place to know that is Him that's your answer. Blessed are those who mourn. Hallowed be thy name. That you can see, you actually see your deficiency, your bankruptcy, and say, God, you're holy, and I could never be like that unless you received me into your kingdom. Blessed are the meek. Your kingdom come, your will be done. An actual transformation taking place in a believer. That meek, we said, means that submitting to somebody greater than you. And there's no one greater than you than Jesus Christ. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Then he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Give us today our daily bread. Isn't that an amazing connection? That as we go, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, then in our Lord's Prayer, he then would go into, give us today, this day, our daily bread. Blessed are the merciful. In the Lord's Prayer, he then goes on, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. You know, it's just a beautiful picture of a life full of God's mercy. I hope this means a lot to you. And we want to just give you a chance to come and know Jesus Christ. He's amazing. He's amazing. Maybe in your life, you think you've got it all together. And you've been striving and striving. And maybe it's been in the area of self-righteousness, or maybe it's been in a total bankrupt life. Jesus Christ is calling to you and asking you, come to know me. And you know what? When you come to that place, it's a place of saying, yes, your will be done, not mine. I want to turn to you, Father. I want to receive the gift that Jesus Christ has given. And I'll assure you, if you make that decision today and you give your life to Jesus Christ, that He will come into your life and He will give you a new hunger for God, a new hunger for the Word of God. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, within the day of giving my life to Jesus, I was so hungry for God's Word that I went to our farm and I stayed there for 3 or 4 or 5 days and just read the whole New Testament. And you know what? It came alive. I would read it before and it wouldn't mean anything. But reading it after giving my life and submitting to Jesus Christ and asking Him to come into my life, then the Holy Spirit made God's Word real. He can make God's Word real to you also. It's a matter of coming to that place and saying, you know, not my will, yours. It's coming to that place of saying, I'm meek. I will surrender to you and give my life to you. And then God will come into your life and give you that hunger. And He'll give you the power to make rights wrong. Make rights wrong. Maybe there's been relationships that are broken. Maybe there's things that you've been bitter about. And Jesus will transform your life and give you a new life and a power to forgive, a power to say to others that hurt you that I love you. And then God will come into your life to make you a vessel beautifully used by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to give you a chance to give your life to Jesus Christ. He has everything. Everything you ever need is in Him. You could say this prayer, Father, I know I'm a sinner. I've known I failed you. And I thank you that you're willing to accept me. And would you come into my life? I want to receive your love and forgiveness. And Father God, teach me in your word and help me to be an instrument of your hand to be used for your kingdom. Not the kingdoms of this world, but for the kingdom of heaven. And like Jesus said, great is your reward. And so if you prayed that prayer, that simple prayer of submitting to Him and saying, I've failed, I give my life to you, you will become what the Bible calls born again. A new life, new direction, new power that you've never ever experienced before. And in that journey of new life, I don't want to exclude, as you grow in His Word, ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. That's where the power is. And fill you in the Holy Spirit that you can be witnesses and a life demonstrating the transformed life that only comes through Jesus Christ. And you will be empowered to do that. God bless you this day, and may you experience as believers the fullness of what Jesus has for you. And if you've just now given your life to Jesus Christ, you'll experience the new life that I did years ago when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I could say it's never been the same. It's never been the same. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon or whatever day you're listening to this podcast. God bless.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.